Who taught you how to pray? Maybe you watched your parents, or maybe one of your grandparents, early in the morning or late at night with an old Bible sitting in their lap, and they were quiet. Maybe you imitated their example. Or maybe your family just didn't do that kind of a thing, and instead it was a friend who had just a tangible relationship with the Lord, and you imitated the friend in their practice. I learned how to pray by going to church camp in the middle of Idaho, so remote the FM radio did not reach it. But we drove there, and those counselors, when I was a child, they had such a way of speaking to the Lord. It was like they enjoyed and cherished a friendship. Now, I had grown up among beautiful Christians, but this was the first time that I could hear someone pray in that very relational way. And I loved the words, so I imitated the words. And in time, I began to appreciate how some Christians in the world would pepper their day with prayer, not just once, like in the morning, like a quiet time, or in the evening. No, these Christians, they would, throughout the day, pause four times, like morning and noon, evening, and right before bed. I thought, boy, that seems like a really beautiful way to kind of mark time. So I gave it a try. Four times a day, that's surely doable. You'll find it in the hymnal. That's the old Lutheran way of praying, if you wanted to pray throughout the day. But it took discipline. I even set a little alarm on my watch that would beep when it was time to pause and go to prayer. And it didn't take long, just a few minutes, just to pause and reorient, recenter on life with God. Let His words fill me that I might notice Him in the rest of the day. And like I said, it took discipline, and that precisely was my problem. Instead of the practice, and I tried it, it was beautiful, but instead of sustaining it, other stuff came up. Fun things, work things, whatever things. And instead of eagerly joining in conversation in the life of prayer, I chose the other stuff. And I imagine you've blazed a similar trail. We've all been in a lot of conversations where we say to one another, I wish my prayer life was stronger. Lord, what should I do? Well, after that, I felt a bit defeated. Prayer all of a sudden became this way of life that felt superhuman or super spiritual, just beyond me. I just didn't have the discipline I felt. And so this morning, I and you together can welcome these words from Jesus. They center us. And like the disciple who asked Jesus on that day, Lord, teach us how to pray, so is our question. Teach me. How shall I pray? And now our desire isn't to become super spiritual or superhuman. And we don't want to turn God into like a marionette where if we pray the right prayer, then I just know things will happen the way I want. No, that's not our desire. The desire that rests in our hearts is a desire to see reality from God's perspective, to be oriented to what is true, what is good and beautiful as Jesus teaches it. And we want to be in a conversation with the Lord about the things that we see and experience. Lord, what about that? What about this emotion within, Lord? So it's this dynamic conversation that I believe we desire here, where God's words enter our hearts and our words enter into God's heart. So Jesus teaches a very simple pattern, a few words, just a few words, words that will last for eternity. Jesus says, say this. Let these words get you started and go from there. Start with Father, hallowed be your name. Father, may I and others remember who you truly are. May we remember your gracious and loving and redeeming self. Father, may we remember that you are the one who promises to always dwell with us, always dwell beside us, and that you intend to bless us in order to be a blessing to others, even though I might not understand how you are intending to do that. But Father, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your reality, Father, everything that you desire to accomplish in this world, may it come to pass. May I see it. Even if I don't see it, may it come to be. May your mercy and your forgiveness be available to all people. Fill the world with it. Restore relationships. And even enable the love between enemies. Bridge them back together also. Then Jesus taught, give us this day our daily bread. And so we move from the very grand scale of God's kingdom filling the whole earth to the very small. Lord, provide what is needed for us. Carry us along today. Don't forget us, but care for us. And forgive us our sins. Dear Father, may your name, may who you are, continue to be true for me and for us. That though I stray, though we stray, though we clash against who you are, don't cut us off from being your child, from being known by you. Restore us. Forgive us and set us back into the way that is living. Now, as we read the prayer earlier, and as we're thinking about it again, you've probably noticed already that Jesus taught this prayer not in the singular, but he gives everything in the plural. Provide for us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Surely this prayer is for each of us to pray individually. And as we pray it individually, we pray it for all in the community. Indeed, provide for my and my family's daily needs, Lord, but also provide for these families. Forgive me my sins, Lord, the ways that I know I have erred and strayed, but also, Lord, share your love with all of these. And as a reflection of God's name, the next line that Jesus teaches us to pray, it's not a request. It's a statement. Jesus teaches, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. It's not written, we will forgive. but rather a statement, something accomplished, in motion. It's actually a statement of family identity. Like our Father, so we as children live. We echo our Heavenly Father's desire to forgive and to love all. Anyone who sins against us, whom is indebted to us, who's crossed the line with us, we, reflecting God's love, we move toward them with the hope of establishing or strengthening the relationship. And sometimes we move really slow. It's not always easy to know how to move into the relationship, to work towards healing and restoration. And yet God's love continues to propel us to love others. And you know this is hard. Sometimes it feels impossible when the rift in a relationship is so deep. And so we pray, Lord, help me to know what this relationship is supposed to look like now. I can't see it, but help me, Lord, navigate this. For forgiveness is not forgetfulness. Forgiveness is the pursuit of a restored relationship, as best as you can see it. It won't look the same, but you continue to work toward restoration. Finally, as children of God, as we journey alongside one another, as we follow Jesus, we pray, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. We're praying that as we follow Jesus, that along the way, we wouldn't be distracted by whatever would try to distract you or me. We pray that God and His desires would fill our hearts, that our own desires wouldn't take over and muddy up the mess and cause us to stray. We pray that what is of God's heart, what is good, beautiful, true, along what Jesus teaches, that these things might guide us and not whatever desires might be out there. Now, there are bound to be things that tempt us, trip us up along the way. It's not God who tempts. But as we follow Christ together, things do come up. Other options, other ways of living in this world. And we'll feel them tug on our hearts. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation. Keep us focused. Keep us desiring your kingdom, Lord, not our own. God's Spirit will nurture this within you. He'll nurture this simple prayer that you and I will continue to live into. And therefore, as the Spirit fills us with faith and works on all of our hearts, we will in time desire more so the things of Christ. And it's from there we will surely pray. We will surely ask, and it will be given to you. We will seek, and we will find. We will knock, and it will be opened to us. May God's kingdom come indeed. Amen.